The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, glory, America, victory Wednesday. I'm Hugh Hewitt, live inside the Beltway on a grand, grand morning. I'm not talking about the Atlanta Braves, world champions, although that's a very good thing. Bravo, Atlanta Braves. Take that, Major League Baseball, and your moron commissioner, Rob Manfred. And I'm not talking about the college football playoff committee rankings, although they are right. Georgia, Alabama, Michigan State, Oregon, Ohio State. That just means Ohio State can play in. That's perfect. That's great. Sorry, Cincinnati. You need some more help from people, but that's fine. I'm talking about Republican Glenn Youngkin taking back Virginia, leading to a sweep of the purple state, a blue state, actually, into the red column. Not only Glenn Youngkin in a handily amassed victory, exactly as he planned it, exactly as he said it would come together, hold the margins down in Northern Virginia, sweep the central and southwestern and southeastern parts of it. Hampton Roads, a very big winning, Virginia Beach, a very big win for him. It was really repulsion at the school districts, repulsion at CRT, repulsion at Terry McAuliffe's trying to play a race card. But also down the ticket now, the House of Delegates is either plus one Republican or even. I can't really tell. And up in New Jersey, Jack Citarelli, who'd have thunk it? Democrats this morning are very, very afraid. Pat Ruffini says this morning, Patrick, that you extrapolate this to next year, they lose 50 seats in the House. 50 seats in the House next year. Look, to be a successful Republican, you have to be courageous. You have to speak your mind. You have to be competent, like Glenn Youngkin came across that. You have to be combative and take on tough issues and be willing to look people like Terry McAuliffe and the left-wing media in the eye and just say, forget about it. You're not really who I'm talking to. I'm talking to voters. And you have to be a constitutionalist. And those conservatives won yesterday. By the way, Tim Butler, my buddy in Loveland, Ohio, he won too. So it's just a victory night. Let's go with Winsome Sears. You may not know Winsome. She is the first African-American woman elected to statewide office in the Commonwealth of Virginia. She was running alongside of Glenn Youngkin. I just want to begin with her because MSNBC didn't carry her speech last night, and it's a fine speech, and you should have heard it. Cut 26.
All right, settle down, settle down. I'm at a loss for words for the first time in my life. You know, I love you too. I am here. Yes. Marine Corps. Motivated, dedicated. So, I'm here because of you. I'm here because you voted for me. I'm here because you put your trust in me. That's the only reason I'm here. Thank you. Thank you. Got my speech. Want to introduce to you my husband, Terrence. Another Marine. My daughter, Katya, and my other daughter, Janelle. I'm telling you that what you are looking at is the American dream. The American dream. When my father came to this country, August 11th of 1963, he came at the height of the civil rights movement from Jamaica. He came, and I said to him, but it was such a bad time for us. Why did you come? And he said, because America was where the jobs and the opportunities were. And he only came with $1.75. Took any job he could find, and he put himself through school and started his American dream. And then, yes, and now he's comfortably retired. And then he came and got me when I was 6 years old. And when I stepped on that Pan Am Boeing 737 and landed at JFK, I landed in a new world. And so let me tell you this. I am not even first generation American. When I joined the Marine Corps, I was still a Jamaican. But this country had done so much for me. I was willing to die for this country. And so I say to you, victory indeed. But I say to you, there are some who want to divide us, and we must not let that happen. They would like us to believe we are back in 1963 when my father came. We can live where we want. We can eat where we want. We own the water fountains. We have had a black president elected not once but twice, and here I am, living proof. In case you haven't noticed, I am black, and I have been black all my life. But that's not what this is about. What we are going to do is we are going to now be about the business of the Commonwealth. We have things to tend to. We are going to fully fund our historically black colleges and universities. You're going to hear from your governor-elect, Glenn Youngkin, and he's got a day one plan that I'm already tired about. Don't know how we're going to make it to day two, but he's going to make sure we keep more of our money in our pockets because he's going to get rid of all kinds of taxes. We're going to have safer neighborhoods, safer communities, and our children are going to get a good education. Because education lifted my father out of poverty. Education lifted me out of poverty. Education will lift us all out of poverty because we must have marketable skills so that our children can not just survive, but they will thrive. And they will create generational wealth. That's what this is about. I'm going to finish up. We love you too. It's a historic night. Yes, it is, but I didn't run to make history. I just wanted to leave it better than I found it.
That is Winsome Sears. She is so terrific, and she was with Glenn Youngkin when I went over to the rally with the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt on Saturday morning. She toured. She worked. She was everywhere. She went everywhere. New Attorney General Myers went everywhere, but Glenn Youngkin was tireless, as was his wife, Susan. It's a big win. Now, in New Jersey, It's only 88% of the vote in. I'm not really an optimist about that, but who knows? The big red wave hit Virginia. Democrats are drenched in red on Capitol Hill today, and now they want to add more spending, more fuel to the inflationary fire. They want to double down on Joe Biden. I don't think so. 1-800-520-1234. I wrote on Monday what the Democrats would say on Wednesday about Tuesday's election, and I was right. It's at thewashingtonpost.com. But remember this, just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Stay tuned. I'm Hugh Hewitt, live in the Beltway. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you found yourself completely befuddled by events in Afghanistan, alarmed about inflation and otherwise uneasy, well, about everything, about Americans standing in the world, about what comes next, then you're feeling like everybody else is, and uncertainty is usually a time that you want to increase your holdings in gold. When I do that, I do it with Birch Gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. They will send you free information. If you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k into physical precious metals, Birch Gold is who to do that with. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. If you're thinking, I got to get some gold, do it with Birch Gold via HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's Hugh to 474747 or HughGold.com. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. I'm happy, America. Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway. I hope you've downloaded the new Salem News Channel app so you can watch and you can see my smile because it's real, it's big, it's huge, it's enormous. Virginia is not going the way of California. It did not fall off the blue cliff last night as turnout surged across the Commonwealth. I was texting with friends in my old state of California saying, please, please, please don't become California. And in fact, Glenn Youngkin embraced a new model. Be competent. Be courageous. Be candid with voters. Be calm. Most of all, be a constitutional conservative. That's what Glenn Youngkin was, and he won. Suzanne Youngkin is his little-known but very effective weapon. I met Suzanne at my early voting polling place when I went weeks before the election to vote, and she was out there working the polls. Here she is last night, Suzanne Youngkin, the new First Lady-elect of Virginia.
Women, you all were amazing. Incredible, incredible. It has been the highest honor to spend these last months traveling around this Commonwealth and meeting Virginians. You welcomed me in your homes. You welcomed me in your parks. You welcomed me in your houses of worship. You were the most kind, hospitable, industrious, dedicated, wise, thinking, caring, and beautiful people to me, and I am forever grateful. I do want to give a shout out to the more than 27,000 women that were part of Women for Glenn. Incredible. Incredible. You inspired me and sustained me, and you girls rock. You're unbelievable. I'm so proud to be here representing our family, Glenn's family. I'm here joined with our son, Grant. Beautiful daughter, Anna. And Anna's little brother, John, is not here tonight because he is studying overseas. But he's with us in spirit. And our youngest son, Thomas. We also have an incredible array of extended family here that have come in from all over, including my father. And Tom Scholz. And we are so honored. They bless us richly. And trust me when I tell you, they bless Glenn richly, too. So many of you all have heard the story about the beginning of this interesting journey that we're on. It happened on a fateful day in the summer of 2020 when Glenn came to me and he said, "Hey, babe, you want to go for a walk?" And I thought, "Oh, you don't go for walks." And so we set out in our beautiful hometown of Great Falls, Virginia. And he told me on that walk that he was going to retire the next day from his 30-year business career. And that ultimately he had a calling on his heart to go into public service. And I paused and I said, "So you're clearly having a midlife crisis. And we really need to rethink this." But the more we talked and the more we walked, I knew that when Glenn Youngkin has a call on his heart, he steps into service. So the other two things that I knew were decidedly clear on that Friday afternoon was that my adoration for and dedication to my husband of more than 27 years meant that we were going to embark on this campaign and this journey together. I knew that.
Bravo, Suzanne Youngkin. She was inspiring last night. When we come back, I'll play you the governor-elect of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin's remarks last night. Then we'll take calls live. I'm Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, live inside the Beltway. Hope you're watching on the new Salem News Channel app. Last night, Glenn Youngkin, the new governor-elect of Virginia, took to the stage and gave these remarks.
Well, first, let me thank Suzanne. Let me thank Suzanne. Just, oh. I have said many, many times that the Lord knew what he was doing because I need her a lot more than she needs me. When I told you on that fateful Friday afternoon that a conviction had come over my heart to go serve Virginians, you did respond. You responded with grace. You responded with support. You responded with unconditional love. Thank you. Thank you. I also have to thank my amazing kids, because I'm not sure that they were all on board at the beginning. So, guys, I want to thank you, Grant, Anna, John, Thomas. John, thank you over in Dublin. I love you guys. And I want to thank my beloved Commonwealth of Virginia. My fellow Virginians, we stand here this morning at this defining moment, a defining moment that, yes, started with two people on a walk, and a defining moment that is now millions of Virginians walking together. Walking together, sharing dreams and hopes, just like the ones that have always been planted on my own heart. Dreams and hopes for a Virginia that soars, a Virginia that never settles, a Virginia where the Virginia promise comes alive for everyone that calls this Virginia home. Together, we will change the trajectory of this Commonwealth. And friends, we are going to start that transformation on day one. There is no time to waste. Our kids can't wait. We work in real people time, not government time. And so on day one, we're going to work. We're going to restore excellence in our schools. We will invest the largest education budget in the history of the Commonwealth. We're going to invest in teachers, new facilities, special education. We're going to introduce choice within our public school system. How about that? Choice within the public school system. We're going to start with 20 charter schools, and we are going to make a down payment and close the gap on giving parents an opportunity to select where their kids go to school. Friends, we're going to embrace our parents, not ignore them. We're going to press forward with a curriculum that includes listening to parents' input, a curriculum that allows our children to run as fast as they can, teaching them how to think, enabling their dreams to soar. Friends, we are going to reestablish excellence in our schools. We are fighting for parents and students and teachers and our schools. Friends, we will reduce our cost of living. On day one, we will declare the largest tax refund in the history of Virginia. We're going to eliminate the grocery tax. Suspend the most recent hike in the gas tax. Double everybody's standard deduction. And we are going to cut taxes on the retirement income of our veterans. All in, we're going to save Virginia families $1,500 year one. We are going to keep our communities safe. We're going to comprehensively fund law enforcement because they stand up for us, and we are going to stand up for them. Higher salaries, better equipment, more training. Programs like Unity in the community to work to build trust between law enforcement and those they protect and serve. We're going to protect qualified immunity, invest in our behavioral health system. And finally, we will replace the entire parole board on day one. And on day one, we're going to jumpstart our jobs and reinvigorate this economy so it lifts up all Virginians. We're going to get this economy moving again, growing 400,000 new jobs, fostering 10,000 startup businesses. Friends, Virginia will be open for business. It's time for Virginia to be the place where everyone wants to live, not leave. A place where the relentless pursuit for a better life, for prosperity, is not burdened or blocked by self-interested politicians who are more focused on their futures than those they were elected to serve. Over 100,000 miles on the campaign trail, I heard stories that were unique and powerful. But the reality is, the challenge of overcoming a culture where the state overwhelms self-empowerment is all too common. For too long, we've been expected to shelve our dreams, to shelve our hope, to settle for low expectations. We will not be a commonwealth of low expectations. We'll be a commonwealth of high expectations. And friends, all of that has changed tonight. A campaign that came from nowhere. But we were joined by neighbors and friends of all races, of all religions, of all ages, of all political ideologies. And it turned into a movement. This stopped being a campaign long ago. This is the spirit of Virginia coming together like never before. The spirit of Washington and Jefferson and Madison and Monroe and Patrick Henry, of Virginians standing up and taking our Commonwealth back. My fellow Virginians, this is our moment. It's our moment for parents, for grandparents, for aunts, for uncles, for neighbors, to change the future of Virginia's children's lives, to change their Virginia journey. It's our time to turn that vision into a reality. It's a vision where Virginians' power, the power that has historically resided in the marbled halls in Richmond, is spread out to the kitchen tables that are held together with the bond of spirit of liberty and freedom. Especially those kitchen tables where breakfast is eaten after a midnight shift. Friends, this is where our government will go. We will go to the people, for the people. It will be of the people. From the farms of the Shenandoah Valley to the docks and shipyards of Hampton Roads, to the coal fields in Southwest Virginia, to the banks of the James River, to the memorials in Arlington National Cemetery. This is our Virginia to build together, and we are going to go to work on day one. There are always those. There's those that say that hill is too steep to climb. But we are empowered. We're empowered by a conviction, a righteous conviction in our children's future. We're strengthened by our collective belief in the Virginia promise. So let's climb that hill together. Let's reinvigorate our future. Let's reinvigorate this amazing Commonwealth of Virginia. Together. 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 We can build a new day. A new day for Virginians where, yes, we soar and we never settle. A new day where all Virginians, all of us, can deserve to look forward to grabbing, to aspiring, to dreaming, and then achieving that great Virginia promise. God bless you all. God bless the Commonwealth of Virginia. And let's go.
Let's go, Glenn Youngkin. What a great victory speech. Congratulations. Got to remind you, ReliefFactor.com sponsors this show so I can bring you speeches like that. Carrion and Kirkman, Resveratrol Omega, going to need it today. Going to spend all day downtown after being up a pretty bit late last night. But that's okay. I've got ReliefFactor.com, which I take right now with my lukewarm coffee. Perfect way to begin Victory Wednesday is with ReliefFactor.com, which you can do for $19.95. And then you can walk precincts. If you're one of those people who walk precincts for Glenn Youngkin, Winsome Sears, Jason Myers, go out there and get some ReliefFactor.com today. If you're up there in New Jersey trying to count a vote that probably isn't going to come your way, but you're out there working anyway, try ReliefFactor.com. And if you're in Minneapolis where you rejected the crazy left wing to fund the police, you get some ReliefFactor.com. Alfredo Ortiz of the Job Creators Network is next, America. And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, live inside the Beltway, joined by my friend Alfredo Ortiz, who is the president of the Job Creators Network, great sponsor of this show. Go to jobcreatorsnetwork.com. I wanted to talk to him on the heels of the Atlanta Braves' big win and the GOP's red wave. Good morning, Alfredo.
Hey, good morning, Hugh. How are you doing?
Well, I'm pretty good this morning, even though I got very little sleep. I've been celebrating all night. Let me ask you, Alfredo, before we go to the Republican win and what it means on the Hill. You sued Major League Baseball. The Job Creators Network sued Major League Baseball last summer. And I don't care what that case did. You won last night when the Braves won and Rob Manfred had to give them the trophy and the fans booed him.
Yeah, absolutely. That was probably, look, I love it. Go Brave. I'm so proud of them. So proud of the team. What they did, and they brought that trophy back, you know, they're going to bring it back to Georgia. But, yes, absolutely. I love that moment when Manfred was booed because he deserved it. You know what he did. He moved that game, the All-Star game, out of Atlanta to Denver, cost our small business owners, primarily minority small business owners, $100 million-plus dollars. And so we actually had billboards going around, Hugh. It was actually pretty funny, a picture of him. We had a couple going around that says, "Oh, Rob, how sweet the irony. Just as sweet as our iced tea."
You know, he is really the worst commissioner of the professional sports. Absolutely. Every single decision he makes is bad. But let's go to the good news. Obviously, Democrats are still trying to pass crippling regulations, a ridiculous amount of red ink. But they got punched in the face last night. That was a political punch in the face. What does it do to them on the Hill, Alfredo Ortiz? And how can JobCreatorsNetwork.com help?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this was, Hugh, definitely a referendum on Biden as well, which is, I think, why the Democrats today are going to be really changing their tune. I think they're going to start changing their playbook because all that radical wokeism ideas, I think they're going to start seeing that this is not what America wants. This, they didn't have a mandate to do that. And yesterday, clearly, I think, was shown that. I mean, my gosh, look at New Jersey. I mean, I don't know if they'll, you know, if they'll pull it off, if the GOP pulls that off. But even as close as it is, I don't know about you, Hugh, I didn't see that one coming. But that just shows you how bad things are. Virginia, though, we're so excited about that, a clear sweep. And when you think about that, not only for Youngkin, but then you've got the first African-American, you know, black woman that actually is in a leadership role, as well as a Cuban, which is amazing. You know, so sweeping all three. I mean, this was a clear sign to the Democrats that those policies, that wokeism mentality is not what America wants.
It will also take back the Virginia House of Delegates, make redistricting fair. But I look to the Hill, Alfredo, and I think to myself, in 2010, after Scott Brown was elected in the place of the deceased Ted Kennedy, Democrats didn't stop. They passed Obamacare anyway, and they lost 63 seats. Patrick Ruffini is really one of the best political scientists working. Says if you extrapolate last night's trends to the entire country, Democrats will lose 50 seats in the House if they don't stop this idiocy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I have to tell you, too, what I loved yesterday is seeing the enthusiasm from the parents. I just saw an interview with Shi Van Fleet and Azra Nomani. They were two of the big leaders of the movement called Parents for Youngkin, or the Mama Bear movement.
Yep.
And it was great. Asra, for example, I mean, there she is, a liberal Muslim Democrat. And she went all out for Youngkin. And, you know, thank goodness for folks like that and parents standing up. You know, the We the Parents slogan for them was just so appropriate, because this is what we need. And this is why Job Creators Network also exists, to help lead people, small businesses together. This shows that one person, two people, three people can truly make a difference. I mean, look at Asra, what she did. She did start that movement. And that's why if we just want to show that if you link arms, you can do things, incredible things. And we need to do this to take our country back.
Now, people need to join Job Creators Network if they are a small business, because there is no, there's nothing going on in D.C. The Chamber of Commerce went over a cliff. They are crashed at the bottom. The Republicans don't talk to them. The Democrats sneer at them. So how is it going? Is it growing? Are people signing up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, every time we put up a billboard or we announce one of our fights, I mean, people just start signing up. And we love that. This is the kind of enthusiasm we're looking for. You know, we love this fight because we have to have this fight. I mean, look what was happening with all this, you know, critical race theory, the wokeism, you know, now, you know, obviously the supply chain issues. I mean, there is literally nothing in these past 8 months that under this administration is actually going in the right direction. I think the latest poll, Hugh, that I saw is that amongst registered voters, 70%+ say this country is in the wrong direction.
Right. All right. That's,
I mean,
and
that's
right
crazy.
Now, the election for 2022 is now underway, Alfredo. And I think Job Creators Network has a very great opportunity on the Hill to stop the worst parts of this package. I know you're working on that. I know you'll run through the tape on that. But how do people join JCN?
Yeah, they can go to joinjcn.com. We made it a lot easier than trying to spell out our name. But joinjcn.com. They can read about us, or they can go to our website, jobcreatorsnetwork.com, if they want to get more information, or they want to sign up to our mailing list. It's all there. But everybody should be signing up, you know, to be part of this fight, because whether you're a small business owner, whether you're an employee, or maybe you have a family member that owns a business, or frankly, you just shop your small businesses throughout the week, yeah, they should join.
Join JCN.com. Be part of the red wave that continues to build and flow in. Alfredo Ortiz of Job Creators Network, thank you for joining me, as you did in Atlanta with Herschel a couple of weeks ago. I look forward to being on the road with you as 2022 unfolds. Stay tuned, America. Hour number two of Victory Wednesday for the Republicans is next on The Hugh Hewitt Show.
The kids would all sing, he would take Rocky. So they rode on his head in the teriyaki.
Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. I'm playing my happy music this morning on The Hugh Hewitt Show. I hope you have downloaded the Salem News Channel app and are watching us. I'm joined by Congressman Mike Gallagher, the great state of Wisconsin, sadly a Packers fan, but no time for disparaging Packers this morning, because Congressman Gallagher, you're going to give us a sense of what your Democratic friends on the Hill think about last night.
Well, my hope is that the Democrats will take a step back and pause this radical, highly progressive agenda. I mean, anytime you suffer a loss that big, and we were talking about a massive swing in a state that Joe Biden won by 10 points, it should give you pause. And I think it's a victory for common sense. I mean, common sense positions. I think parents are concerned about not only the quality of their kids' education, but also the increasing role of radical theories, critical race theory, common sense positions like support for local law enforcement, I think, go a long way with people. And given all the concerns around the economy, concerns about inflation, pushing through a massive bit of macroeconomic stimulus makes absolutely no sense right now. So we'll see. My hope is that they take this as a sign that they should not move forward, particularly with the reconciliation bill, which is astounding in its scope, its scale, and in its overall cost. But I don't know. We'll see how the conversations go on the Hill today, Hugh.
Let me ask Congressman Gallagher to put on your PhD hat and be Dr. Gallagher for a moment and consider whether or not an Elaine Luria understands why critical race theory is such a toxic issue. And respond, if you will, to the charge. It's not. I heard that on TV last night. I listened to about 5 seconds of TV. We were doing the Nixon seminar. We'll come to that in a second. And I heard a very respected commentator say, it's like the Democrat trope. It's not taught in the Virginia schools. That misses the point. There is no curriculum marked CRT, but they're closing Thomas Jefferson High School to merit admissions on the basis of equity. That's CRT.
Yeah, and then it's just empirically true that there is an explosion of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs within a variety of government institutions, including the military. Secretary Austin, his first week on the job, created certain positions with that in mind, ordered a 60-day stand down in order to address extremism in the ranks, even though no one at the Pentagon can define extremism. And so it is not a made-up issue. It's a real issue. I hear about it every single day in Northeast Wisconsin. And I think it's bound up in this broader woke ethos that the modern Democratic Party is pushing. So much of what we hear from the Democratic Party is based entirely on intersectional identity politics. And I think what we saw in Virginia is that Americans' views, I mean, just average Americans, center left, center right, Democrats, Republicans, their views on race are normal. They don't conform to the radical intersectional identity politics stuff the Democrats are pushing. People want to get along. They don't like racial essentializing. They really don't like it in the classroom. And they don't think the cops and the society writ large are racist. I think that's obvious from what we saw in Virginia. And as for swing district Democrats, if they were inclined to think that this was just a fake issue before, I think the results in Virginia should tell them that the American people don't want CRT. They don't want the cottage industry of DEI commentators. And it's so far out of step with the mainstream that it's turning off a lot of independent voters.
And last question on the elections, New Jersey as well, Congressman. When the redistricting commissions come to draw lines and they base it on 2020 votes, they're going to be wrong. They're all going to be wrong. And Patrick Ruffini today projected if this trend continues a year, it will mean a loss of 50 House Democrat seats, including people like Elaine Luria, who are not nuts. Right. It's not the squad who are going to lose. They're in their deepest blue refrigerators. It's sort of common sense liberals like Elaine Luria. Do you think they wake up and just say to Nancy Pelosi, get 10 of them, lock arms and say, no mas, no mas, we are not doing this?
Well, I hope so, Hugh. But honestly, I don't know. It seems like there is some momentum this week to just press ahead, notwithstanding what happened in Virginia with both the infrastructure vote as well as the reconciliation vote, which would be a massive mistake. Hugh, and I think the other lesson here is it's always a mistake in politics to run on the past. Politics is about the future, articulating a vision for the future. And Glenn Youngkin did that. If the Democratic Party wants to run purely on a message that, we hate Trump and Trump this, Trump that, it's just not going to work with the American people at all. I expect we will see a red wave in November. I expect we will take back the House, and increasingly I'm convinced that we can take back the Senate. If we have good candidates in particular, and Glenn Youngkin was a very good candidate, his lieutenant governor seems like an amazing candidate.
She's a Marine.
Marine Corps, by the way, Hugh.
Yeah, I know. She's
Marine
a Marine.
Corps saving America yet again. I think this is going to be a red wave, and particularly if the Democrats press forward with a radical progressive agenda that the American people don't want and quite literally can't afford.
Now, Congressman, I want to switch to the Nixon seminar last night, where over the course of an hour and 5 minutes, we had 9 presentations, including you, former Secretary of State Pompeo, former Ambassador, National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, Matt Pottinger, lots of people talked. And it's very depressing because while we had a good night in Virginia, we're having a bad year in the world. What did you take away from that? And we will post it as a podcast later today at the Nixon Foundation website so that people across the United States can hear those 9 presentations. It's an hour of packaged pessimism.
Well, I think the two are connected, Hugh. The victory last night is connected to the pessimism we expressed last night on the state of the U.S. and the world. Although the traditional view among political scientists and political professionals is that foreign policy doesn't matter in elections, I think both former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien did a great job articulating why the American people don't like to see their commander-in-chief humiliated on the world stage. They don't like that feeling of America being weak on the world stage, and they don't like that feeling of America getting less safe because of our weakness abroad. I believe we saw that in 2016 with the threat posed by ISIS. It had a very real effect on the election. And I can't help but think that the fiasco we saw in Afghanistan is connected to the loss of trust the American people are expressing in Joe Biden. And that is a huge problem for the Democratic Party. And it's not a cause for celebration for the Republicans, because we face severe challenges on the world stage right now. And we need a strong America. And so we need Republicans and Democrats to push back on some of the weakness that we're seeing expressed abroad. We cannot afford to allow John Kerry's climate change agenda to subsume everything and to screw up all the bipartisan progress that we have made when it comes to China. And that, to me, is really, you know, the biggest issue that we face today. You heard it expressed last night in the Nixon seminar, and I'm increasingly worried that the Chinese Communist Party will make a move on Taiwan after they pocket the propaganda victory of hosting the Winter Olympics, after Xi gets, you know, installed as dictator for life at the shortly thereafter. We could see a very real threat of an invasion of Taiwan, and we are not moving fast enough in terms of putting in place a deterrence by denial posture in order to prevent that from happening.
A great summary, Congressman Mike Gallagher. We will get that audio out in a podcast. People need to listen to that hour. It is so on point. Thank you, Congressman. Go Browns, and hopefully your Packers will endure. Be well, my friend. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, inside the Beltway, joined by Brian Westbury of First Trust Portfolio, our economist extraordinaire. Brian, what do you make of yesterday's vote in Virginia and New Jersey, where the Democrats a little bit ahead, but nevertheless, it was a swamp of red votes down ticket and a huge sweep in Virginia. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I don't want to jump in and try to be Karl Rove this morning or something like that. But from an economic point of view and watching all these polls, and this happened yesterday, everything closed up. These races closed up, and Youngkin actually went ahead in the last 6, 7, 8 weeks. And when I think from an economic point of view, certainly this had something to do with schools and education and the arrogance of the unions. And McAuliffe had, you know, was mistakes on schools, but inflation is deadly for politicians. Supply chain problems that seem intractable and can't be fixed are deadly for politicians. And when voters understand that these things are happening because of policy, money's too easy. We're running up the deficit and spending on the credit card too much. We're regulating too much. I think there's a backlash. I think this next 14 months, they're going to be great months for Republicans, because the Democrats do not have an answer for this. Their policies have created a lot of economic harm, and they don't know how to fix it.
One of the first things to do is to, the first rule of holes, stop digging if you're in a hole. I don't think they're going to stop digging, Brian. I think the Build Back Better and the infrastructure bills are going to pass anyway, and that's just going to be fuel on the inflation fire, and we see what that does to incumbents.
Yeah, Hugh, I watched as much as I could of the coverage from, you know, across the spectrum last night, and I mean, Democrats don't get it. They will keep digging this hole. However, Joe Manchin does get it. Kyrsten Sinema does get it. I believe John Tester does get it. And as a result, I think they are going to help their fellow Democrats by not letting this bill get through. But the other problems that we're talking about are going to get worse.
I mean, well, because they're also unleashing a regulatory maze that will be as destructive as tax increases for the industries they hit. The new EPA regulation, they may get set back by the Supreme Court, which is going to revisit Massachusetts versus EPA, I hope. But at this point, it looks like an enormous regulatory clampdown on productivity.
Oh, gosh, yes. And I mean, the answer for, you know, we're gonna stop fracking, we're going to close down pipelines for fossil fuels in the United States. Then we're going to beg OPEC and Russia to boost their production. I mean, first of all, OPEC and Russia are going to go, no, with a laugh, just like that, probably. And they will not reverse those policies. So we're going to have $3, $4, $5 gasoline right into the next election. And I think they're going to get taught another lesson. You know, in the 1970s, inflation, which was much higher than it is today, you look across this country at the number of mayors and the number of governors that lost seats that were one-termers. Presidents were one-termers. And I think a lot of it had to do with inflation. And so
Jimmy Carter in 1980, really matters. Misery Index. The Misery Index was born in 1980.
That's exactly right. That's where you add up unemployment and inflation. And we have low unemployment today, or relatively low, but it's the inflation that's the real problem. You erode living standards. And that brings
you also add in, I think you add in the prime interest rate, Brian.
Well, you can do that. You can do that as well. But I forgot. I wanted to talk about one other thing this morning. In Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota, the voters kept the police force. They didn't go to their, I forget what they were going to call it, but the not police force. However, they kept the cops, but they passed rent control in St. Paul and Minnesota.
Oh, my.
And when you pass rent control, so think about this. We have inflation drives up building costs, renovation costs, repair costs for landlords, for people who own buildings that other people rent. And then the city comes in and limits the amount you can charge in rent. So they're the ones that determine if you make a profit or not. Rent controls are the quickest way to destroy a city because they stop investment in housing.
It's the New York of the 1960s and 70s model. It will kill the Twin Cities. I'm sorry to hear that. Westbury on Twitter. Brian's handle is just simply Westbury. Thank you, Brian Westbury of First Trust Portfolio. I'll be back. Your phone calls as we celebrate Victory Wednesday in Virginia. Big, big wins for Republicans. We'll talk about it in the next hour. Stay tuned to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.